New reports say the Packers would prefer to move on from Aaron Rodgers. What to make of the latest in the Packers quarterback saga? Plus, Green Bay's defense loses a veteran coach. What that means for that group and Joe Barry's future in Green Bay. Plus, a little fun for Mock Draft Monday. All of that starts right now.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Also, thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Put in $100, you will get $100 back from Prize Picks when you use the promo code Locked On. It is that easy. Adam Schefter had more to say about the Aaron Rodgers situation, and I'm not even going to get into the like fake news thing, because if you don't believe Adam Schefter at this point, look, I don't know what to tell you. Everything that he reported essentially was right, and so I'm not even going to worry about it. Here's what his reporting said. I'm going to read from the reporting. League sources believe the franchise prefers to move on from Aaron Rodgers, just as it once did with Brett Favre. Those sources also believe that Rodgers is well aware of the Packers' feelings on the situation. Okay. This is interesting. So, why would this not come out sooner? Aaron Rodgers knows they feel this way. Was he just trying to figure out, okay, do I want to come back? Do I want to push for a trade? Do I want to try and really push the pedal to the metal and see if I can really, I really want to come back if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and maybe I can push and say, you know what? I want you to keep me, and you make that push. And Green Bay says, okay, okay. Like, prefer to move on is not the same as we'll definitely move on, right? If that were the case, that would have been the report, presumably. That's not what was reported. So I want to look at this from two sides. Remember last time we looked at some of these and we said, okay, why is this stuff coming out? Why does this stuff get reported? Where are the sources coming from? And I think it's pretty clear that the original Schefter reports were from the Rodgers camp. The Packers do not benefit from leaking that Aaron Rodgers is extremely unhappy with the team. Reports that were reiterated over and over by other people, guys like Jake Glazer, like Charles Robinson at Yahoo, like Rob Domofsky at ESPN. National and local guys who are not just going to like throw stuff out there. It was really, really bad in 2020. Aaron Rodgers was telling people he never wants to go back to Green Bay. He was telling the Packers, if you want to go to Jordan Love in a year, trade me now. He said that on the record later, confirmed that that had been the case and that he did consider retiring. So we know that there is this history here. So let's just take the two sides. If you're the Aaron Rodgers camp, why would you leak this to Adam Schefter? Because someone leaked it. Someone went to Adam Schefter and said, this is the deal. There are three possible options. Let's actually start from least likely to most likely. So least likely is this is another team. Another team that wants Aaron Rodgers and like the Jets go to Adam Schefter and they say, hey, the Packers want to move on and Aaron Rodgers knows they want to move on. So they're going to move on. I just don't think that makes any sense because this started with Adam Schefter reporting the Packers are going to explore a trade. Aaron Rodgers knows that these two teams, both these two sides each know a trade is possible. Okay. A little trial balloon. Let's see how this goes. Let's see what happens. You throw that out there. Okay. The Packers, you predict now the Packers will explore. They will see what is out there. That's the next permutation of this. Okay. That doesn't really fit with another team leaking that. Plus, if you're a reporter, now I'm not going to get inside his head, but you have to know where this stuff is coming from. And so you have to understand, okay, another team is going to have a vested interest in creating chaos here. So you can't just take what they say as gospel. You have to vet it. You have to get corroborating information. So I just don't think that that's the case. The next on the likelihood scale, in terms of more likely, is that the Packers leaked this. And if you're, I think, someone who is inclined to believe the Rodgers camp in all of this, you would say, this is leverage. This is them saying, make us an offer. This is them saying, hey, Jets, come get Aaron Rodgers. We would prefer to move on. Make us an offer. It is open season, without saying this is open season. Now, they could do that on the DL. And if it is the case that Aaron Rodgers knows that the Packers would like to move on, you don't have to put this out in the media, because Rodgers knows, and you can call Las Vegas, you can call Tennessee, you can call the Commanders, you can call the Colts, you can call the Panthers, you can call the Saints, you can call the 49ers, you can call the New York Jets and say, do you have any interest? And it doesn't matter if they leak it. Hey, the Packers called us, because Rodgers already knows. So it doesn't actually matter. So I don't think it makes sense for the Packers to have leaked this. What makes the most sense is that Aaron Rodgers leaked this. Not literally Aaron Rodgers, though, who knows, maybe. But I would think his camp. And the reason is because you want the onus, if you're Aaron Rodgers, whether you leave or not, you want the onus to be on the team. So if you leave, you definitely want everyone to think it was the team's decision for you to walk, because Rodgers has been upfront. He cares about the way that the fans feel about him. He cares about the way that they feel about him if and when he leaves the organization. He cares about his legacy, and he did not want to go out the way Brett Favre did, who essentially forced his way off the team. So it's interesting. It's interesting. The Brett Favre mention is specifically in the report. That's the kind of thing that if you're an agent, you're going, hey, remember the last guy? He wanted to come back, and the team said, take a hike. And he got traded to the Jets. Now, Aaron Rodgers could still come back to Green Bay. This could just be leverage for Rodgers to say, hey, we're going to make this ugly for you. So bring my guys back, or commit to a new Hopkins deal or a Brandon Cooks deal, or whatever situational demands Aaron Rodgers has, because clearly what the Packers went to him with was not to his liking. He said there has to be more conversations in the future. They got to fix the contract, all that stuff. Clearly, whatever the Packers laid out for Rodgers is insufficient in his mind. So he needs to negotiate better terms of a return at the very least. That is like the most diplomatic reading of it. And that is if you think that this has a kumbaya, everyone gets along and they play nice for another year ending. I don't see it. To me, this is narrative setting, period. This is Aaron Rodgers getting out in front of a breakup to say, don't blame me, blame the team. They wanted to move on. I wanted to come back. Now, this is contrary to everything the Packers have said on the record over the last 2+ years about the relationship with Aaron Rodgers. But that doesn't mean that it's not true. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't prefer. Maybe they would. Maybe they would. Certainly, maybe they would prefer. You know, it's possible that they read the Peter King report just like everyone else and went, wait, we can get 2 first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers from the Jets. And it's the Jets. And who knows? And we don't think Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers next year, and certainly won't be the year after. We get 2 first-round picks for that guy. Phew, let's go. Let's go. Let's open the bidding. Because if that is definitely what they'll give up, maybe they'll give up even more. Maybe it's 2 firsts and Corey Davis, and you're going to get a player that you already want to get. And you rework that contract, you bring the cap hit down, all that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter if this is the opening salvo in a divorce proceeding, or if this is just leverage. Either way, it's pretty clear that what this report is meant to have us believe is that the Packers are the ones driving all this. Whether or not that's true, it doesn't really matter. And whether or not Aaron Rodgers is definitely on the team next year or definitely gone, right now it doesn't matter. Someone wants us to believe that that's the case. I don't think Green Bay has any incentive to do that. Now, the other teams do, certainly. If you're the Jets, you want to press the issue. You want to back the Packers into a corner. But that would mean that there are teams that really want Aaron Rodgers. Now, remember, 2 years ago, teams called about Aaron Rodgers, and they were basically told, nah, that's not the case now. That's not the case now. Ian Rappaport reported that. Adam Schefter has reported that. Peter King has reported that. That if a team comes with the right offer, the Packers will trade Aaron Rodgers or would be willing to consider trading Aaron Rodgers. 2 years ago, they said, piss off. No interest. Goodbye. Don't even bother. That's not where we are anymore. And whether or not, you know, this is firm, like this is over. I don't think we should take this report to mean it's over in Green Bay. But I think that we have to be serious about the reality that this is happening in a real way. There is a high likelihood of a divorce here. And I don't think this report makes it any less likely. Now, is there still a chance he comes back? Yes. But I'm putting that at less than 50%. I'm talking about 70-30 now that he's gone. He's somewhere else. He's playing in green and white, or he's playing in silver and black next year. All right, more movement to talk about on the coaching front and a little Mock Draft Monday fun to talk about the roster a little bit. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy, made better, really. Made better because all you have to do is beat the Prize Picks projection. Take Patrick Mahomes passing yards or Jalen Hurts rushing yards. And you give yourself an opportunity to win up to 25 times your money. Put 2 to 6 players together. And you can win up to 25 times your money. Are you kidding me? It's like any sport you can think of. NFL, NBA, MLB, hockey, golf, college sports, soccer, WNBA, NASCAR, tennis, MMA. It's everything. Everything. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com and sign up to play daily fantasy sports. And you can get a 100% deposit bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. It's that easy. You put in $100, they'll give you $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen every day. Locked On is heading to the Senior Bowl. Get inside analysis from the hosts to cover the NFL's next generation in college and find out which NFL draft boards these players will be climbing all in one location. Subscribe to Locked On NFL for nightly live shows from the Senior Bowl Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So Jerry Gray is going to be an Atlanta Falcon. Packers passing in coordinator, defensive backs coach. And it is the case that Jerry Gray is a respected coach in the NFL. Clearly, he's getting a different job. Now his contract was up. Matt LaFleur said he didn't anticipate staff changes. And so maybe he anticipated Jerry Gray coming back. And it was also the case that players like Jerry Gray, Russell Douglas gave the eye emoji. Kayshon Nixon gave the eye emoji to the news of this happening. He was a coach players liked. Now, that is not always proof that the coach is good. And that is not always proof that the coach is a good fit for where you are in your organizational development. This was a coach who basically said, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Earlier in the season, when asked about Joe Barry's defense, basically said, look, I'm Joe's in charge. I'm just doing what he asks me to do. Now, does that account for the missed assignments, the discipline problems, the fact that two safeties got benched over the course of the season, that they had to change the nickel because Russell Douglas was not a good fit there and because Darnell Savage got benched? There was a slew of issues. And ultimately, they ended up being a top 10 passing defense. But the biggest issue that they faced most of the season, in the passing game at least, was mistakes. It was things that generally we ascribe to coaching, discipline problems, miscommunication, playing with energy, all that stuff. That's generally a coaching issue. So I don't think the Packers are going to cry any real tears that Jerry Gray is walking out the door. And from Jerry Gray's standpoint, I think he has to feel like, look, I got passed over for the defensive coordinator job. I don't like what Joe Barry is doing. I don't agree with it. And I just know I'm not going to get any credit when we win, and I'm going to get blamed when we lose. And so I'm out. I'm going to give myself a chance somewhere else. So I think this was a win-win for both teams. Like, the Packers have to feel like, okay, we have an opportunity now to get someone in the building who wants to buy in, who wants to make this group better. I would think a younger kind of coach. And if you're Jerry Gray, you're going, look, I'm getting a new opportunity in Atlanta with a young, interesting team in Atlanta. Great city. In a division that is eminently winnable. With Arthur Smith, who is a well-liked coach. So from Jerry Gray's standpoint, this makes sense. Now, when we look around the league, D'Amico Ryans is expected to be the Houston Texans' next head coach. The Panthers just hired Frank Reich. Ejiro Evero and Raheem Morris are not getting the Colts job. They are defensive coordinator candidates. Now, right now, there are way more OC candidates than DC candidates out there. There could be an overflow of quality defensive coordinator candidates. Vic Fangio is out there. Jim Leonard is out there. Yes, you may have said at the outset, Joe Barry is our guy. I'm not going to fire him. That is before we got to this point. Steve Wilks is out there. There are so many guys who could come in right away and impact your team in a meaningful way. Make them passing game coordinator and assistant head coach and pay him a bunch of money. Or elevate Joe Barry. Make him a senior assistant, a senior assistant head coach, and let someone like Ejiro Evero come in and call plays for your defense. You have so many opportunities now to upgrade, to truly upgrade. Like, don't make one mistake into two. Clearly, Joe Barry over someone like Evero, who is another finalist, was the wrong call. So now you have a potential opportunity to hire Evero again. Go get it. You have a chance to hire Raheem Morris. Go get it. You have a chance to keep banging on the door of Jim Leonard. Make sure you exhaust every option. Now, maybe none of these are realistic options, and all of these coaches feel like they have better opportunities elsewhere, and maybe they do. Maybe Raheem Morris just goes back to LA, something he's comfortable with. Maybe Jim Leonard goes finds a D1 defensive coordinator job. Would he want to come to the NFL just to be passing game coordinator, or would he want to come and be a DC? He was offered the DC job. Would it be a slight to come now when he had the opportunity potentially to get it earlier? And there's the reports, okay, he's going to stay at Wisconsin, but then no, he's not going to stay at Wisconsin, but he's not going to go to Green Bay. What's the situation? Would he take an opportunity to be not a full-blown coordinator? I don't know. We don't know. So we don't know what the options truly are in these situations. And I think that's an important caveat here, because we don't know for sure Vic Fangio would come. We don't know for sure Raheem Morris would come. We don't know for sure Ejiro Evero would actually go to Green Bay, even if they offer the DC job, and take it. And we don't know what they would do with Joe Barry. Would you kick him upstairs? Would you make him a senior defensive consultant and assistant head coach? Would you demote him to passing game coordinator? Would he take that demotion? We'll see. I think Joe Barry is the kind of coach who would say, okay, you have a chance to get this guy. I'll take a back seat. He's at the point in his career. He's been in DC a number of times. I'll take the back seat. It's probably the last time I was ever going to be a DC anyway at this point in my career. I'm in my 50s. That's fine. I'll take it. I'll go coach the linebackers and run our passing game defense and be fine about it. Maybe. Only Matt LaFleur and Joe Barry probably know those answers. I mean, other people in the building might think they have answers, but we don't know. So we don't really know what the options are. But here's what we do know. There are opportunities out there to improve this defensive staff. Even just promoting Aubrey Pleasant to passing coordinator, would at least it's new blood. It's someone new. Like, just promoting, you know, your safeties coach to passing game coordinator. They tried that. They did that. I don't think that's the way to do this. You have to constantly, like, Sean McVay has done the opposite of that. He's brought in outside Mike LaFleur, outside in the tree, but outside of his building, offensive coordinator. Raheem Morris, kind of on the tree, outside his building to replace Brandon Staley, who was outside the building to come in and replace Wade Phillips. He has shown a willingness to do that. Matt LaFleur cannot play it safe. You have a chance to upgrade. You have to take every opportunity that you have at your disposal to get better. And if you don't do that, if someone else, I didn't even mention Brian Flores, also potentially in the mix. Why would you not want to bring someone like that in? I would hire Brian Flores to be my assistant head coach and you know, like oversee more than just my defense. There's no salary cap on coaches. Pay him Texas with a dollar sign. I don't care. The Packers have the money. This is not a time to pinch pennies. Irrespective of who the quarterback is, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, you have to make this team better. Clearly. And so exhaust every opportunity. Now, again, we don't know what the real options are, but it is a necessity that the Packers exhaust every option at their disposal to make this coaching staff better, because right now there is a glut of talent on the market that could make this coaching staff better. And if you don't do it, the Vikings are going to do it. There are other teams who could potentially add these guys to their staffs and make their teams better. These are teams you're competing with. So hire them just so they don't go somewhere else, but also hire them because they're qualified, because they're good at their jobs. And guess what? There is this added tack-on benefit. This is, let me be very clear, not the reason you hire these guys, but if you hire someone like Raheem Morris, someone like Ejiro Evero, someone like Brian Flores, and they go get a head coaching job, the way that the system now works, you get compensated for that because teams are being rewarded for hiring minority coaches, which is a good thing. I like the system. The opportunities for minority coaches in the league right now are, it's a joke. It's not why you would do it. It's not, I don't even think it's part of the calculation. I'm just trying to add some context here. There's no downside to doing it. It's all upside. You make the team better. You make the team better. And guess what? If things go wrong again in year two or year three with Matt LaFleur, you have a candidate in-house you could promote. A Brian Flores, who's been a head coach. A Raheem Morris, who's been a head coach. Hey, a Jim Leonard, who probably wants to be a head coach. If you're Evero, who's getting head coaching looks, you have guys who are on the track to becoming head coaches. Give yourself every opportunity to improve. And guess what? That's how you improve. Today's episode brought to you by our new friends at FanDuel. This year, the only app you need for your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partners for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. So many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download the FanDuel app so you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. I was like 10 yards away from hitting a killer three-way same game parlay with Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown, over rushing yards. He just missed the rushing yards. It was a tough scene. It was a tough scene, but I hit Eagles to win the NFC at 12-1, paid off everything over the course of this season. These are the moments you live for. Join FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get a no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen every day. Subscribe to Locked On NFL and get daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories, plus in-depth analysis on the biggest games with NFL key predictions every Friday and Monday. Local insiders cover the weekend with game-to-game episodes of Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. So I got this note from Kevin McCarthy. I don't think that Kevin McCarthy, but who knows, maybe. And He made an interesting point. He said, you know, if you did a mock draft where you just picked one side of the ball, how many spots would you go before you felt like you filled the important gaps on that side of the ball? And he pointed out that You probably go a lot longer on offense than on defense. And so I did this exercise. My first pick, I took Lucas Van Ness from Iowa, the edge rusher. Emmanuel Forbes, the corner from Mississippi State in the second round. You could never have too many corners. They really only have two boundary corners because I think Russell Douglas is going to move to safety. But even so, someone's going to play in the slot. And we don't know what Eric Stokes is after a disappointing sophomore season. Jordan Battle, the safety from Alabama. And Jonah Tavai, the defensive lineman from San Diego State. After that, like, Van Ness is a backup edge. Forbes is a backup corner. Battle, like, they might have all their safeties. We don't know. And you need some defensive line beef, but Devontae Wyatt is going to be playing a bigger role this year. TJ Slayton is going to be playing a bigger role this year. So all of a sudden, like, you're kind of going, is there any, like, you have two linebackers you feel really good about, some backups who are backups. So, like, who cares? And you have two really good boundary corners with a backup corner. You're paying Darnell Savage for sure. You're paying Adrian Amos, but he might not be on the team. And you have Rashawn Gary. You have Preston Smith. You have Quay Walker. You have Devontae Campbell. You have Kenny Clark. Like, you have these guys. It's different, interesting, because on offense, it's a different scene because of where the needs are. So I did an all offense mock, and all of a sudden, I just kept going. I got Peter Skoronski, the offensive tackle from Northwestern at 15. Tackle, but could play guard. Darnell Washington at 45. They desperately need a tight end. Rashee Rice from SMU at 78. He's their Allen Lazard replacement. Really like him. Roshan Johnson, running back from Texas. Jalen Duncan, the tackle from Maryland. If Skoronski's going to play guard, then you need a tackle. Drake Nugent, like, is Josh Myers really the solution? He did not have a great season after a promising rookie season. He's had injuries. That's an issue. And really, I have Zach Kuntz, the tight end from Old Dominion. Now we're in the seventh round, but you probably need two tight ends because Mercedes Lewis might not come back if Jordan Love is the quarterback. Big Bob Tonyan might not come back if Jordan Love is the quarterback. And so you have Josiah DeGuara, and that's it. You probably need more than one receiver. So I have Darius Davis here. You might need more than one running back. I have Travis Dye. And if Josiah DeGuara gets hurt, you have no other sort of flex H-back. Now, you could say it's Darnell Washington in this case, but I have Hunter Lepke from North Dakota State. I picked 10 players. I picked 10 players on offense. This team needs offensive weapons, and we saw it again. Look at what happened in the NFC Championship game. Jalen Hurts did diddly poo throwing the ball. But his legs were a factor. Just the fact that he could use his legs were a factor. And then everyone else. Kenneth Gainwell. Miles Sanders. Dallas Goedert. Devontae Smith. AJ Brown. That offensive line. You need that high level surrounding cast. And in the AFC, like, we know what those guys have. We know the Chiefs have a premier offensive line. They have a premier quarterback. They've got a nice group of running backs, a diverse group of running backs. They have maybe the greatest receiving tight end of all time and a complementary group of skill players. The Bengals, they have some issues on the offensive line, but they've got the best pass catching group in football. They've got two running backs who are pretty good. They've got two tight ends that can do stuff. The Packers don't have that. They need to make these additions, and they need to do it in earnest. Back tomorrow, a lot more this week. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live on YouTube, when Aaron Rodgers makes a decision, we will go live on YouTube to stay Locked On Packers.